put on what? That's a good question. This is a carryover from the last lecture we had in wrestling, where Jacob was wrestling with God himself. And he wouldn't give up. And finally, our father could have taken him out at any time he wanted to. You understand that? Finally, he did. He said, "It's nearly daylight. You're through, buddy." And he touched a muscle that put him out of business. But Jacob wanted a blessing first. And God gave him that blessing. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which is misinterpreted by a lot of people. It's not the prince that prevailed with God. It's the prince that prevails with God's help. Okay. Now, what happened meanwhile over the hill? Here comes Esau, who has threatened to kill his brother, murder him. 400 troops with him. And to show God's power, he reached down and touched him, changed the mind of Esau. And when they came together, Esau fell on Jacob's neck and loved him. That is to say, in a brotherly way. And forgave him. And this shows you what God can do when you truly follow him. And that is important. He told us then to put on the gospel armor. But there's more to that. And a lot of people fall short by not understanding totally, especially if you're one of God's elect. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, and it reads, "Awake, awake." Let's get your head out of the sand. Put on, this is what you put on. "Put on thy strength, O Zion." This is a name for Jerusalem, the city of peace being translated. "Put on," again, "thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Everyone today, male or female, is supposed to be circumcised of heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means has found salvation, loves him, and follows him. "To shake thyself from this dust, arise and sit down." Sit down means to take your crown on the throne. You're important. You're something. "O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Stop letting people rule over you when your name is Yerushalayim, which is to say the city of peace. You allow war and conflict and so forth. We're going to put a stop to it. That's what God is saying. Naturally, we're looking future here. "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught." Sold yourself for nothing. "And you shall be redeemed without money." Why? Because if you love the Lord, you are redeemed. He paid the price. Money won't cut it. You could have all the money in the world and you cannot buy salvation. Only Christ can lead you through. "For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause." There's nothing new under the sun. Look around today. What's happening in Egypt? They murdered Christians by the score there in this past few months. And Assyria, look at it. Who is your enemy? It's not the Christian world. It's not the free world. "Now, therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught?" They allow themselves to be sold for nothing. "They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." Want God out of the Constitution. Want God out of your vocabulary. God out of the schools. You know, that's sad because that's from where all blessings flow. Is our Heavenly Father. And this howling business isn't our people howling in pain. It's those that conquer us are howling with laughter. They're laughing at you. Because our people allow themselves to be sold for nothing. Therefore, my people shall know my name. That's what it takes. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. God's elect know that. And that's what's very important at this time. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Do you know whose feet those are? They're Christ's feet. As he comes, and he is returning. And so it is that we can look forward to that day. That's when Jerusalem will be cleansed. Verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Father knows his election. Watchmen testify. Watchmen give the warning. That's what a watchman is for, is to warn the people. To warn the people of what is coming. All you've got to do is look just over the ridge there. And you can sense. Listen to the news. What's happening in this world today? Break forth into joy and sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. It's going to happen. You know, you can count on it. You know, it is a sad thing when Christians begin to get down and feel bad and get depressed. Why would you do that when we serve God? He knows what's going on. It's not going to happen forever. God is going to lead his people. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. When God bears his arm, it's not to hug somebody, okay? It's to straighten things out. And he's going to do it. You know something? As you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, he does not expect one of you to be on that front line. You know why? You're not needed. God himself will rain down hailstones weighing 180 pounds on an enemy that comes at us. Why? They don't believe there's a God. Guess what? He's going to meet them face to face. His arm is bared. And he's not happy with anyone that comes against his children. And our Father is so thoughtful and so wonderful to his people. Verse 11, depart ye and depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her, be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Don't you bring in a bunch of trash into a ministry of God's election. It's filth. It won't fly. God leads his children. We have that victory. You don't have anything to fear other than fear itself in being ignorant in God's word, knowing he's on the throne. He takes care of business. Prince that prevails with God among men. In other words, when God is with you, you prevail in this world, in even this troubled world. That's the point. That's the lesson. Don't let yourself be sold for nothing. You're a child of God. Act like it. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward, which is to say your rear guard. He brings up the front and the rear. Hey, you got nothing to worry about. Just as he changed the heart of Esau with 400 men coming against Jacob or to Jacob, where they were friendly, offered aid. God takes care of his own. God blesses his own. There's no accidents. God takes care of his own. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, that's prosperously. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. That's Christ. And he shall be, whether they like it or lump it. As many were astonished, that's astonished or shocked at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Do you understand? They crucified him. A lot of people say, oh, he was so weak, they just did him in. Boy, what a mistake that would be to consider that, for it was written in Psalms 22, 1,000 years before the fact, that it would take place exactly as it was written. It brought about their sentence, signed, sealed, and delivered. 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shout, shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard, even though it was broadcast and they heard it, they shall, then they were going to consider. They heard it, but it didn't make sense. Only God's elect can see the truth. Only God's elect can witness at this time and know and understand the full plan of God. The controversy is between Satan and our Father. Now, you fall under one or the other of them. You either serve Satan or you serve your Father. Which is it? It's up to you. If you want blessings, you're always going to serve your Father. Why? He loves you. He chose the elect even before the foundations of the world. Therefore, he calls them wife in more than one place. In other words, this is a spiritual saying. Okay. I chose you before the foundations. Why? You would not serve Satan then, and you're not going to now. You're not going to. They're not going to see you shaking your boots because you're ready. You're ready to witness. Your mouth will be open and God's word will pour forth, for it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks. Turn on to the 59th chapter. Here it's talking about there wasn't any justice in the land. Seems like the courts were all messed up. Our people were just going bonkers, letting God be dispelled from their vocabulary. And God finally picks it up. Let's pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 59, the great book of Isaiah. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. You that have the truth can look around and see it. You see children in Congress making decisions like babies, okay, rather than common sense, for what is good for the nation and the world, all nations. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, false teachings, not the truth, not God's word. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You can't have that that is right with that going on. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Anytime you try to do what's right, there's going to be some people come at you. You're going to have trouble. Guess what? Bring it on. Okay. Because God is with us, and he likes judgment, and he will judge. And the rewards thereof are God's way. Our Father blesses this ministry. I mean, a lot of people are having hard times now. This ministry isn't. Why? Because truth comes forth and God's blessings reign. God loves judgment, so see that you do that. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that where there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation into him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He sent Christ. He let Christ come to this earth to straighten it out. For he put on, there's your phrase again, put on what? For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. That's a coat of mail. And an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance. That gives you a date, okay? For clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He came the first time with salvation only. When he returns, he's coming with vengeance. 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. He's going to take over. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, that's all the way to the east, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. There's going to be a horde come at us that you cannot imagine. They're gathering. It's all but in the mill. You want to be prepared for it. Well, do we have to worry? Of course not. Remember Israel. That is to say, the people that prevail because God is with them. The father of all the 12 tribes, house of Judah, the house of Israel, is on the throne, and he will provide. He always has. He always will. I could say it in the Hebrew tongue, Yahweh Jireh. God that provides. God that blesses. Verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. That's the 12 natural tribes. As for me, this is my covenant with them. This is contract, friends. Listen to it. It's good to this day. Saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Our Father always provides. Our Father loves his children. Those words that come, a lot of people wonder, well, if I'm delivered up, what am I going to say? You don't have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit speaks through you. If you've ever read Mark chapter 13, you know that. You know that it isn't you that speak, but God himself through the Holy Spirit. The day of vengeance is going to come. Now, turn on, if you would, to chapter 61. I want you to all remember this particular chapter. It is the chapter that Jesus went into the synagogue. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah, and he read from it. He comes to a verse, and he stops right in the middle of it. That also gives you a time. But also, it follows with the day of vengeance, which is what we're looking forward to now. The day of salvation has already come. It's there for whomsoever will. But the day of vengeance is coming against God's children? Of course not. He loves you. If your children are obeying you, do you punish them? Of course you don't. You love them. You only punish those that misbehave. So don't ever be afraid of your Father as long as you're following him. Why? He loves you. He needs the family to hold tight, to hold together. In what? His word. In the spirit. The fight against principalities in higher places. That spirits. Like right now, you have a full moon. Be careful, my friends. They come out in full moon, not to frighten anyone, because you have power over them. But we always have the victory. You don't have to worry about it. God gives us that. So let's read of the day of vengeance. Chapter 61, and it reads, again, the book that Christ read from in the great book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 17, he stopped. Verse 1 reads in chapter 61, Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Do you know something? He does that too. This is Christ speaking, of course. If you are imprisoned in the ways of this world, all you have to do is ask Him. Study His Word. Show yourself approved. Be led of God and loose yourself from the anxieties and the troubles of this world. Have no part of it. Come out of it. He paid an awesome price to make this available to you. Verse 2, to proclaim, to do, well, what's a proclamation? To give warning, to let you know, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That must be proclaimed also. Of course, Christ stopped after the word Lord, because that's all that came to pass in the first advent. The second advent's coming, and vengeance comes with it too. Vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Well, how could God's vengeance comfort those that mourn? Because He loves them. And they mourn because God is taken out of the vocabulary of school children, or attempted to be. And we mourn for that. But knowing all the while, God is going to correct it. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment, do you know what to put on? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, do you wear it? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Not that you could be glorified, but that God can be glorified through you in part, because you are part of the family. And God loves you for that. A planting of the Lord God. Well, I didn't know He had anything to do with me. He planted you. Verse 4. And they shall build the old waste. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Peace is coming, the real thing. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. That's to say, people that are accepted from all nations, all work together to provide. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. That's both male and female. Ye shall eat the riches of the nations. I'm going to translate it, not Gentiles. And in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. In other words, the work that you do that brings blessings to the world rather than cursings. For your shame you shall have double. That's the rewards of a first fruit. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Don't forget that. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Again, the reward of first fruits. That's to say, first chosen. Those that work at it. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He hates false teaching. He'll never bless it. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me. You put on what? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Doing what is right, in other words. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I don't know, do you possess that wedding garment, even, or the garment of a wife? Do you know what that garment is? Have you put it on? We're going to go into much detail about it here in a few minutes. Verse 11 to complete. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. He's going to see that that peace prevails. He's going to see that peace comes to the world. Only a matter of time, my friends, we're there. We're close to that door. He gave us the prophecy concerning the parable of the fig tree. That anchors it in this generation. To complete this lecture, go with me to the very last proverb, 31. I must tell you something about this proverb. For Lemuel is the king that is addressed here, and his mother gives a beautiful prophecy, a prophecy from God. One of the few places in the Bible that a prophecy came, many places that a prophecy comes through a woman. It was King Lemuel's mother. Now, pray tell me this. In the Hebrew tongue, what does the word Lemuel mean? It means dedicated to God. It means chosen by God. It's one of Solomon's names. All it is King Solomon, in other words. Not transliterated, but fully translated. Chosen by God, dedicated by God. Well, then, wait just a moment. Who was his mother? Solomon had about five names. Koholit, in the Hebrew tongue, many others. But here's Lemuel. Well, who was his mother? Bathsheba. Well, if we fully translate Bathsheba, what do we have? Daughter of the seven. Okay. Beth is daughter. And Sheba is seven or oath, one of the both. The oath of God to the 7,000, the 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baal. And this is a prophecy. Now listen to me closely. Solomon mixed with false religions because he mixed with so many nations of different religions. Zer in the Hebrew tongue. God hates false teaching. And beginning with the 10th verse to the end, there are 22 verses. In the Hebrew manuscripts, each of those verses begin with A through Z. I'll say it in English. Okay. I'll say it in the Greek, Alpha through Omega, from the beginning to the end. It's our Father saying, this is all of it. It's all summed up right here in an acrostic. Beginning with the 10th verse of what you must wear and what one of God's election do. Now, there is no gender in this. The bride of Christ is all that believe upon him and those that chose him. So this has to do with all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can read the first 10 verses on your own. I'm only going to start with the 10th where the acrostic begins and see if I can give you some. You know, only the Holy Spirit can enlighten you on all that is written in these 22 verses. There is so much. But let's have a go at it, okay? Let's see what it is that you're to put on. Put on what? Well, let's find out. Verse 10 reads, verse 10 of chapter 31, Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? That's a leaf. That's A. Bet, B. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She is so prosperous in her work. She brings in so much food, provides so strongly that he doesn't have to go over and rob and take a spoil from somebody. It's just right there. Okay. 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's her husband? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. When you witness and when you testify, you bring children into his fold. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. What do you make from flax? Well, of course, you make fine linen. What is the righteous garment that you put on? Your righteous acts weave the very cloth that you wear in heaven. I'm quoting from Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 and 9. Your righteous acts weave the linen, not wool, not something else, linen. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She gathers it in. Why? She thinks she's a mother in Israel. 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She takes care of her own. She takes care of the family. She has compassion. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard, the very blessed fruit of the vine. 17. She girdeth her loins with strength. What is it she puts on? What is it here she wears? She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She profits. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's always thinking. Why? God blesses her. Why? She's working for the Father. Her husband is Christ. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. I mean, she is taking that wool, and she's taking that flax, and what is she doing? 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She has compassion. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She cares. That's one of the signs of God's elect. You show me somebody that doesn't have that and just scratch them off. They're not one of God's elect. 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That's kind of a bad translation. It means they're double clothed. She's made enough clothes for them that they can handle the snow and winter and cold and never get chilled. Okay. She provides. But let me ask you again. Like I said, only the Holy Spirit can take you to the depth of this acrostic. What is your clothing? It's the gospel armor. Are you double equipped with it? Think about it. 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, you know, if you're really thinking, you got to think, there's something wrong with that. It's got to be... There's just got to be something wrong with... Where did this silk come from? Well, it's a false translation. That's where it came from. The word in Hebrew is sheshi. You know what it is? It's white linen. Do you know something else? It's more than that. It's bleached white linen. The purest of pure. The most righteous of righteousness. Made by her own hands, her righteous acts that weave the gown that she will wear in heaven. Her husband is known in thy gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Should, it's Jesus Christ, he's judge. Christ's judgment seat, okay. He can handle it. You don't have to worry about it. That means what? You're not supposed to judge anybody. Let him do the judging, okay. You're to discern, but you're not to judge. He'll do that. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen, there you've got it correctly translated, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Now what does that mean? Again, let the Holy Spirit anoint you. She makes enough righteous linen and acts to cover a lot of people. Why? Because she witnesses the Word of God that brings people to commit righteous acts because of her endeavors. How deep and how beautiful and how wonderful the acrostic of this daughter of the seven. 25. Strength. Do you want to know what this is all about? This is what she's clothed with. And you better write it down and you better remember it real good. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She'll rejoice in the future. She's busy now doing God's word. Well, I just wished I had some of that strength, and I wish that the world wasn't so bad that it just pushes me down. Then stand up. Don't let the world do you that way. You're a child of the living God. Act like it. You let yourself get depressed over nothing. You sell yourself for nothing. Stand up and know that He is with you, that He leads you, that He guides you, and uses you if you will do that work. If you weave those righteous acts, that compassion, that selling that truth, not selling it, sharing the truth here, a little there, that changes lives. You know, I receive letters from people that it is so wonderful how many lives, truth, that they'll try to give me the credit. It's not me, it's the Word of God. Changes lives. Gives a destiny and a purpose. How precious it is. And how precious is this daughter of the seven. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Where did she get that from? Right here from the Word of God, showing herself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. I want to say again, this is in the feminine, but that's the bride of Christ and the wife of Christ. It has to do, there's no gender though. It has to do with all that serve the living God. She looked well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She doesn't let idleness bring in bad thoughts. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The Lord Jesus Christ calls you blessed when you serve Him. He sees that blessings fall on you. He sees that our name, Israel, the people that prevail with men because God is with them. That's what the word Israel means. He praises those that serve Him. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. God's elect excel all in God's eyes because they seek that truth, know that truth, hunger for that truth, strive for that truth. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What? She has the smile and the presence of the Holy Spirit serving the living God in a touching and affecting others, leading them to that path of salvation to complete the alphabet. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. What is her own works and what brings that praise in the gates? Her righteous garments. She makes them, the righteous acts that bring God's blessings. One of the most beautiful of all the acrostics in the Word of God concerning God's election. Put on what? Put on the wedding garment, the gospel armor. Put on strength. Put on courage. Stand as a child of the living God. For he approacheth, he cometh near. You want to be busy about his work when he comes. That doesn't mean you should stand on a street corner passing out leaflets. They'll laugh at you. Protect your credibility. But keep your mind open to people that question you or ask questions and give them a righteous answer that will lead them into the path of righteousness. For it is that righteousness and the righteous acts that weave the very garment that you wear in heaven, but most of all to the wedding. And if you're one of God's elect, the wife that puts that garment on and did, if you want to know the truth about it, long ago, and serves him. How precious it is. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you, Father, for changing the name from Jacob, the heel grabber, the supplanter, to a prince that prevails with men because of God. Thank you, Father, for touching this ministry, this family, this many-membered body from which it is made up. We thank you for this daughter of the seven, Father, that serve you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is